From KPFK Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kohatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen's resignation on Sunday appeared to come out of the blue. But in fact, President Donald Trump last week previewed what was to come in his increasing belligerence over reports of increased immigration and his resulting demand to shut down the border with Mexico. Well, with his withdrawal of Ron Vitiello's nomination as head of Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, Nielsen's resignation, and reports of more cuts at DHS, the president appears to be indicating that his administration's anti-immigrant policies were simply not anti-immigrant enough for him. Although he has denied that he wants to resume immigrant family separation, he has also touted it as a deterrent against migrants and asylum seekers. We turn now to Douglas Rivlin, Communication Director with America's Voice. Welcome, Douglas.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
So were you surprised by Kirstjen Nielsen announcing her resignation? She seemed to be someone that Republicans in general and even Trump, they were happy with. She hasn't been in the job that long.
Well, nothing surprises me about this president anymore. But the notion that she was not being harsh enough on immigrants and their families was the surprising part. You have to constantly kiss this president's ring and bend the knee to him. And I think what's really going on is that the president wants to be more anti-immigrant than the law allows him to be. And he took out that frustration on Nielsen and on some of the other folks at Homeland Security.
Yeah, we're hearing reports now about the internal discussions that went on before Nielsen's resignation was announced. And some of the things we hear is the president basically just demanding that the border be shut down, demanding that asylum seekers be turned away, even if there's no reason for them to be turned away. He announced speaking with reporters over the weekend, the country is full, no more room, you have to leave. So he seems to be, as you said, trying to skirt the law. And Nielsen, of course, was simply trying to do her job. Does that absolve Nielsen, though? Isn't she still perhaps the cruelest DHS head we've had in recent memory?
Well, it's a short list, but yes, I absolutely agree. She's the most cruel. Take a step back. This is Trump's signature issue. It is the heart of his 2020 reelection campaign, and he is failing and flailing. And every policy that he wants to put forward is either immoral or illegal or impossible or some combination of those three. So it's sort of an impossible job to be the Homeland Security Secretary for this president. And to keep him satisfied and to keep Stephen Miller satisfied seems to be an impossible task. I don't think that Kirstjen Nielsen gets any absolution in all of this. If her excuse is, I was just following orders, that just doesn't fly.
And in fact, in some of her comments that she made after her resignation was announced, she seemed to still stick to this line of, she hopes that the president's immigration agenda continues.
Yeah, and look at anyone who works for this president in any capacity, whether it's an undocumented immigrant working at one of his golf clubs, whether it's his lawyer, Michael Cohen, whether it's any of his associates or anyone who's not actually blood related to him, apparently, you're going to get used up when you're no longer of use to him, or you try to tell him no, or you try to tell him, let's do it a different way. You're gone. And your reputation is sunk. Career is sunk, quite frankly. And I think after 3 years, we should really realize the pattern here with this president.
You mentioned Stephen Miller. He's a White House advisor. He is not somebody who the Senate has had a chance to vet and confirm as somebody that should be setting policy. But really, it appears to be his take, his vision that the president is trying to fulfill. He is someone who remains behind the shadows. So is he somebody that can be held accountable by Congress, or because of his position as White House advisor, he just remains safely ensconced within the White House?
Well, I mean, it's a tough question because he is pretty well ensconced in where he is. And I don't think we're going to wake up and hear the headline that he's been fired anytime soon. He's amassing more power. This is really a power grab by Miller, and it's his ability to stroke the president's ego and to say, I've got the way forward on your signature issue. It's to get tough, and when that doesn't work for several months, get tougher. And when that doesn't work for another several months, get tougher still, regardless of how this is playing in public, you know, opinion around the country. You know, Miller is the Dark Knight, the Dark Lord, who is behind all of these policies. He's blown up agreements that were made on a bipartisan basis in the Senate. You know, when Lindsey Graham, the old Lindsey Graham, who was trying to find a way forward on immigration, and Dick Durbin came to the White House, very famously, Miller made sure that there were anti-immigrant senators in the room to blow up the deal. And that's when Trump said, you know, I don't want people from S-hole countries. He has been pulling the strings. We know this is a president who's easily manipulated by his staff, by everyone. It's about stroking his ego and making him see his own self-interest. And Miller seems to be a master at playing the Trump violin.
So Trump's main goal seems to be to take on this issue of people from Central America wanting to come to apply for asylum in the United States. This was around the whole issue of wanting to shut down the ports, particularly shut down the U.S. border, particularly because of reports from El Paso, Texas, that there was a peak in the number of families that were arriving. And according to CNN, sources that were in meetings with Trump, he just wanted to shut down the port of El Paso. And when there were people like Nielsen saying, well, you can't do that, the president just said, I don't care. He tried to get Nielsen to figure out why the asylum laws were allowing these migrants into the country. And she basically tried to look for exceptions in the law, saying there aren't any. And then we just had a federal judge, right, Doug, strike down Trump's policy of insisting that asylum seekers remain in Mexico while they apply for asylum. And the judge said, you can't just make up policy out of whole cloth. That's Congress's job. So basically, Trump wants to supersede Congress's authority, right?
Well, I mean, when Trump is confronted by laws, he finds a way around them. They are an inconvenience to him, not a constraint. You know, we have the president really doing two things. One is that he desperately needs something to distract from the Mueller investigation and the report that is eventually going to come to light. The report that he was talking to his staff, the Secretary of State and Secretary Nielsen, on the same day that the Mueller report got into Attorney General Barr's hands, that's the day that he said, I need to shut down the border because he desperately needs to change the subject. The other piece of this is that the president just sees this as his 2020 campaign. He sees immigration and fighting against the caravans as his great victory of 2018, despite all of the evidence that it was a huge defeat. He feels it was the reason why he won in 2016. And he's going all in on a strategy of being tough on immigrants for 2020. And, you know, look, 40% of the country seems to be with this president, do or die, regardless of their, stated religious beliefs or their moral center. They seem to be with this president, do or die. The president, you know, I think was right when he said that for his core supporters, if he shot someone in the middle of Fifth Avenue, he could get away with it. That 40% is sticking with him, and they are animated, and they chant at his rallies, and they love the fact that he's going to be tough on black and brown and other people of color, and especially if they're immigrants. And the reality is that that's really where they're lining up their entire campaign for 2020. The downside of that, of course, is that most of the rest of the country is just horrified. by what the president is doing, by the images of families being stuck under a bridge in El Paso, of families being turned away for asylum, of children being put in cages and families being separated with no plan to put them back together. So we're at this, you know, conundrum where most of the country is really denouncing these policies, and yet the president really doesn't care about most of the country. He cares about only one person in this country, as we know, himself. And the 40% of the population that's been sticking with him is really the only folks that he's really trying to animate.
Now, he said, as I mentioned, the country is full, but there was this interesting piece in the New York Times on Tuesday morning showing that the nation essentially has the opposite problem. An aging population and declining birth rate means a shrinking workforce. It went into all of these details about how studies are showing that the U.S. is basically, you know, population is declining and could benefit from immigration. There was also a piece about how Trump has been quietly, his organization has been quietly trying to purge Mar-a-Lago's staff of all the undocumented immigrants that it hires. Just, you know, this hypocrisy that does not seem to break into what his base wants.
If I can interrupt, it's not just hypocrisy. It's an ongoing criminal enterprise that the president has run for years, which is exploiting the work of undocumented immigrants, in some cases providing them with documents to fool authorities, and in some cases actually going to other countries and recruiting them. This is not sort of we're in the hotel and golf club business and we accidentally hired some folks who are undocumented. This is an ongoing criminal conspiracy. It really, you know, the Congressional Hispanic Caucus is already leaning into this. We're hoping that more and more law enforcement in Florida and in New Jersey and in New York in particular, where the cases have come to light because of good press work, it creates a huge conundrum because, you know, the first thing he's going to do is fire people, and they're going to get the brunt of being, you know, outed, if you will, as undocumented immigrants. But the reality is that the president talks out of one side of his face to his base and out of the other side of his face to his investors. And that's just a reality about this president. His supporters are not people we're going to persuade. Let's just be blunt. What this is going to be about is getting the rest of the country. You know, there's a good percentage of the country, maybe 25% of us, probably a lot of them are listening to or watching your program right now, who feel that immigration is a good thing. Immigration is what has made this country what it is. It is something that when handled correctly and we have a system to accommodate immigration, is an essential part of who we are as a nation. And it's an essential ingredient in what our economy is going to be now and in the future. Those folks, I think, really are pulled in different directions. A lot of folks who are sort of, I think immigration is a good thing, but maybe there are too many folks, or I like legal immigration, but I'm against quote unquote illegal immigration. A lot of those folks are really the folks in the middle that I think are very persuadable and very attuned to the hypocrisy of this president. And when they see people under a bridge with those Mylar, or whatever they're called, shiny blankets on under a bridge, I think their hearts are moved. I mean, we saw a reaction in this country when children were being put in cages and taken away from their parents. And when we learned that there was no plan to put them back with their parents, that really shocked a lot of Americans. And what we've really got to do is build the sense that this is being done in our name, that Trump and Miller are irresponsible leaders who are taking us in the wrong direction, and be very clear that that 40% is going to come out and vote for the president, and the rest of us have to do something about it.
There are reports now that Trump wants Border Patrol agents to be the ones conducting credible fear interviews. He also flippantly wondered why we had such things as immigration judges. Again, these sorts of attempts of him to just flout the law, the actual law of the land. What about the Republican Party and his colleagues in the Republican Party, who seem to be only too happy to prop him up and to back him no matter what, but now are really disturbed by his firings at DHS. He not only urged Kristen Nielsen to resign, he pulled back his nomination of Ron Vitiello, he's fired the head of the Secret Service, he may be ready to fire another several agency heads, and Chuck Grassley's not happy.
Well, I mean, we've seen the fret level, if you will, among Senate Republicans go to red, but we don't see them doing very much about it. The person that Grassley's concerned with, Mr. Cisna at USCIS, is someone who I think used to work for him, mm-hmm. and is someone who's beloved by Numbers USA and the Center for Immigration Studies and some of the true anti-immigrant warriors out there who are pushing behind Stephen Miller and President Trump. So there's, I'm not going to go light a candle for Grassley, quite frankly. There's been a lack of backbone, a lack of standing up for values that the Republican Party said they were for, including legal immigration, including the Constitution, and including the rule of law. And right now, they see a Republican Party that has been wholly shaped in the image of President Trump. There are severe consequences for any Republican who lets any daylight between him and Trump happen, or her and Trump happen. So you're going to see, John Cornyn and McSally in Arizona and Gardner in Colorado running for office, defending President Trump on immigration policies they know are wrong. But they are scared to buck him and scared to buck Fox News and Rush Limbaugh and everyone else. Breitbart is really becoming the center of the Republican Party, not the fringe. And they are, going along until we see, some sort of change where either they develop some sort of a conscience or a soul and break with him, or the politics change. And I think the politics changes when the rest of us in this country stand up and say, you know what, holding people under a bridge, separating families, that's not okay with me. That's not who we are as a country.
So we basically have this political struggle between those who are perfectly fine with our incredibly harsh anti-immigrant policies currently, and those who just feel that that cruelty just isn't cruel enough. We need full-blown fascism when it comes to dealing with immigrants, subverting the rule of law. What about the Democrats? Are the Democrats who hold the House able to tout constructive pro-immigration policies that are reasonable, that are compassionate? Because it seems like Trump built on what Obama did, and when the Democrats did have power, they didn't go far enough. It's easy to oppose a president like Trump, but what are you really for?
Well, I think there are a couple. I think that's a good point. Democrats failed when they had control of both houses and the White House to move immigration reform forward. And in 2013, when I was working on Capitol Hill for Congressman Luis Gutierrez, we got immigration reformed passage in the Senate, but couldn't get it across the finish line in the House. And here we are almost 7 years later, and we're dealing with a lot of the problems that would have been fixed if we had gotten that legislation enacted. Now, there are lots of problems with it, but it was a move in the right direction. I think there are a couple things going on. In the short run, there have been a number of Democrats who are saying, look, this is a regional refugee crisis. People are leaving the three countries in Central America for a reason, and we have to address those reasons. We have to help those countries establish protection and the rule of law, and if we're unable to do that, we have to create safe places where refugees can go. And Trump has ended or curtailed a lot of the programs that were starting to help keep people in the region. In terms of being able to, you know, apply for asylum in country, some of the aid that was going to Central America to assist in sort of stabilizing things has been cut. And, you know, let's just keep in mind that the president wants chaos, right? The caravans work for him as a villain and as a foil. That's part of their reelection strategy. It's hard to propose sensible policy in the face of that, but there are a number of things that Democrats can put forward, including addressing root causes, including surging resources to the border to process asylum claims, and you know, using very cost-effective and proven alternatives to detention. What Trump wants to create and what Miller is threatening to create is this Sophie's choice, or Sophia's choice, if you will, where if you come to apply for asylum, we're going to give you an option. You can either be incarcerated with your children, or you can sign away your children's rights and we'll incarcerate you and we'll take them into to less restrictive shelter or what have you. This is all about a detention strategy. I mean, I'm sorry, a deterrence strategy to keep people in Central America. And we've seen that those deterrence only, enforcement only, incarceration only approaches are not working. But what Trump and Miller are proposing is to do more of the same.
And speaking of deterrence, very quickly, I just want to end with this question of whether Trump is going to revert back to the issue of family separation. He basically said first that he didn't want to resume family separation, didn't want to overturn his executive order, although reports, internal reports or reports from sources showed that that's what he did want. But then he said, well, once you don't have family separation, that's why you see many more people coming. They're coming like it's a picnic, because let's go to Disneyland. These are the comments he made, suggesting very clearly that he thought of family separation as a deterrent, even though all last year when it was happening, they kept saying, oh, we're not separating families, it's just our zero tolerance policy, and the family separation is just an outcome of our current policies. Do you think he's going to go back to separating families and risk the massive public outcry we saw last year that forced his hand?
Again, I mean, this president can say anything and then deny it the next day, whether there's videotape or not. That's just something we've learned about him. He wants people to cheer for him at his rallies. He wants them to say, build the wall, shut it down, close it off, we're full, I'm sure is going to be one of the chants of his next rally. He's got an unrealistic view of what is happening and what is actually driving families to risk their lives to walk across Mexico to ask for our help. And he's got an unrealistic view of what it would take to stop them or to handle this situation. The president has one goal. He wants to get reelected. He wants to stay out of jail, and he wants to be cheered by his followers. And he's going to do everything he possibly can to make those outcomes happen, whether there's a connection to reality or not. I think he is going to lean into this family separation policy again in some form or fashion, so that he can be able to tell his people that I wasn't scared by the, you know, media coverage of it. And there's a reality. When the president is holding people under a bridge in El Paso and they're kept in those kinds of conditions, that's bad for public opinion on the president. When people are coming to the border and there doesn't seem to be any order or control or any stop to people just coming to our border, that's not, you know, that works in the president's favor in a way. And he likes that dynamic of being the guy who is, you know, I alone can save us and to protect the country from who he sees as invaders and MS-13 gang members and people coming to Disneyland. And we all know the reality is quite different, but reality doesn't seem to have much of a relationship with this president.
Right. Well, I want to thank you so much, Doug, for joining us today. Give out a website for your organization.
AmericasVoice.org.
We link to that from our website. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me on.
My guest has been Douglas Rivlin, Communications Director with America's Voice. We've been discussing the latest in Trump's anti-immigrant agenda. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our audio podcast on iTunes, and our video channel on Vimeo.